Hello, you're listening to the Hamerty Brothers e-commerce podcast. If some of our discussions and tips are working for you, why don't you grab a 15-minute call with us at ecommercecall.com. We'll see whether we can help scale your e-commerce business. We will quickly see if we're a fit or whether we can recommend someone else to get you where you need to go. The worst case is you'll have a fun 15-minute chat, and regardless, you'll come away understanding a lot more about your business. Book a call at ecommercecall.com. Hello and welcome to the Hamerty Brothers e-commerce podcast. This week, we are going to talk about the coronavirus. We thought it was very difficult not to address it. We literally recorded this about 10 minutes before the Boris announcement where he was going to lock down the country. So we didn't actually know at this stage that the UK was going to be fully locked down. New Zealand is already locked down. So we knew that information. And so we knew what things were happening here. But obviously, everything's changing very, very quickly. And we just wanted to address that. We thought it would be very difficult to not talk about it. So we thought we'd do an episode on it, talk about where we are. And of course, we have got access to a huge amount of e-commerce data. And so we can see exactly what's going on. And hopefully we can give people a little bit of insight. And if we do have any more insight over the next few months or so, we will happily share that with everybody as well. So let's get started on the podcast.
Hey Ian, how are you?
Hello Mark, I'm okay. It's a difficult time at the moment because we're obviously knee deep in the impending lockdown.
Really, yeah. Got access to probably 100 plus very large e-commerce sites, and I just pulled all the data off into tool we use called Supermetrics, which allows me to pull off all the revenue before and after. So basically, like this week compared to last week, or you know, this week compared to last week, last month, and just to see who was affected, who's most affected, and from it. And basically, anybody that sold something that people could do at home seemed to be okay, or that was rational purchases seems to have stood up quite well. So like, you know, things to that need to repair a car, or you know, to food obviously, and you know, people selling some clients that had like maybe one or two products that was like sterile wipes, which wasn't necessarily their main product, suddenly they've done really well because they're selling that one product loads and loads and loads. Whereas what's been hit was anything that you would buy to go out, and that covers all clothing. So because people seem to obviously buy clothing for an occasion or a reason to do something. So that's been hit very hard. And obviously anybody that sells anything to do with tourism or B2B around
hospitality,
around tourism or hospitality. Yeah. So it's quiet. It's brutal. It is really brutal.
And are you seeing the shops that have, the online shops that have really suffered? Are you seeing it's traffic, conversion, or average order value, or all three?
All three, really. I'd say traffic is down. Some of them, like most, when I was looking, were down about 20%. But then clothing was down about 50%, and then people selling something specific like dancewear or something like that, you know, that was even down even more because obviously they can't go to classes. So it's kind of like traffic is down, but I would say conversion rate is down more because people are looking but not necessarily buying.
So there's less people looking, and obviously less people making the ultimate decision. Because obviously people have, you know, clearly very distracted. I think the businesses that have worked to the point where we've had a couple of clients who said, please, you need to take the add to basket buns off.
Yeah.
You know, because we can't cope. We can't fulfill these orders. So, I mean, one client said had 4,000 orders over the weekend, and they just can't get it out. So yeah.
Everybody wants the same thing at the same time.
Yeah.
It's the same here in New Zealand. It's like everything has stopped apart from the supermarkets. And so therefore everybody's in the supermarkets and there's no bread. You know, yeah. Everybody suddenly wants, everybody's going to have to lock down for 4 weeks. And they're suddenly like, well, what are we going to need? So that's where everybody is.
Yeah.
And everybody's doing the same thing. So, situation.
That's the situation. The question is what do we do with this time?
Yeah.
What do we think? Where do we think we're going to come out? What's going to happen when we come out? And I think we were just chatting about this earlier. And there's a couple of things. Is a where we what do we think the retail and online retail is going to look like at the end of it? And b what do we do now? And some clients are saying, so if I take B, some clients are saying, well, hey, look, right, we know this is bad, but we're going to use the time most effectively now so that when we come out of it in maybe 3 months' time or however long it's going to take, we're in a much stronger position than the competitors. And essentially, we want to steal market share. So, quite a few of our clients are saying we want to invest, we want to push harder because we want to be in a stronger position than we would have been. And then we can start to really grow and take market share. And then I think the other interesting thing is some of our clients who had retail stores as well as their online presence are realizing that that obviously the stores are going to close and some of them may not be opening again. And therefore they're going to be much more reliant upon their online. And so they're investing heavily as well because they want to say, well, look, we know that the stores were going to close eventually anyway. And we're moving into more of having very a selected number of flagship stores. Where they're becoming showcase piece, show stores for us, that's happening.
A mass digitization of society, isn't it?
It's
like these kind of step changes that suddenly force to do something online.
It's making the change quicker, And there were certain businesses that you just knew were really hanging on to an old business model, like. I don't think anyone will be, upset by about this. But one of our clients was Steamer Trading, and they were a business that sold, cooking kitchen equipment, pots and pans, and all that kind of stuff on the high street. They had lots of stores on the high street, but they didn't sell their own brand. It was everyone else's brand. So. Now that business model might well have existed, 10 years ago, where, you're the only shop in the middle of Chester that sells pots and pans and, cooking equipment. Now, but the business model, that doesn't work online because you've got nothing. You're online, you've got nothing. You've got no reason to buy. You've got no margin. You haven't got your own brand. You need your own brand. Mm. You really do.
Well, it relied on people coming in, seeing that Magimix, and them not being able to price check that, because that obviously store in Chester had high rent on the high street, which they had to pay in order to be there. And therefore, the customer coming into that store, if they're going to buy from there, they needed to pay a premium for the convenience of buying it on there. The difficulty has come over the past couple of years, 2-3 years, is that not only have people got access to their mobile phones, but also they've become much more savvy at price checking very quickly. So they can go, well, that Magimix, I can get that online for £100.
And Steamer Trading become a commodity. And it becomes the value is in that Magimix product. And essentially, they don't really care who we get it from. But then they are looking at people like Lakeland understood this. And Lakeland then said, well, we'll make sure that all our Magimix products have a 3-year warranty and everyone else's has two. So 2-year warranty. So therefore, they've understood that. But essentially you've got You got to have a reason.
I think they also did exclusives as well. I think there was there was colors that were exclusive to Lakeland that they got the manufacturers to make so that you could only get that blue Magimix one at Lakeland.
And I think Lakeland have a lot of their own branded stuff as well.
Mm.
Whereas Steamer Trailing just didn't have anything. So it's like, you know, obviously they got bought out last year, but it's businesses like that that just have not, they're the ones that are going to suffer. Like the demise of these natural businesses is going to be quicker. Like you know, in this period, you know,
I mean, it's like when something big happens like this, we all think sometimes, oh, it'll go back to normal, but the new normal will be very different when we're coming out of it, because people will have adapted to new things that they have been resisting for a long time. So I imagine a lot of the meetings that we're currently doing face to face, people will probably say, we'll do a Zoom call,
you know,
in the future, because they realize that they can get a lot more done. And the same thing will happen with e-commerce. They'll go, a lot more purchases will be done online, and then either click and collect or, home delivery. So, you know, it's going to accelerate the e-commerce, and we will come out with more e-commerce. And the high street will become much more focused on experiential stuff, where you have to go in. So like obviously hairdressing, coffee shops, things where there's an experience that you need to have, you know, that you have to have a personal experience. And anybody who's surviving on, you know, that department stores like House of Fraser, they're just going to struggle, aren't they? Because they've got really no reason to go in there. Obviously, some people still will want to try on clothes, but in that case, what you'll get is more of the kind of Nike stores where the brand itself has the stores because they know that people want to go in and try on the shoe. And then if someone buys that Nike shoe, they don't care because it's still a Nike shoe.
Yeah, it's their brand.
Traditionally, the model was you go into an independent sports store, try that shoe on, and then buy it there. But those independent stores can't survive because people are trying on that Nike shoe and then go in and say, well, I'm going to get this delivered tomorrow for half the price. So, you know, you're just going to see an acceleration of that. So what we can do in this period is basically prepare for that new world and make sure that we have done all our housekeeping and we come out, firing. Yeah.
It's fundamentally the market square test that it's the most important here. It's like it's the original, you know, value proposition for your business. And if that is weak now, you're not going to survive. And you know, if it's now is the time to really make sure that your value proposition is key. Like, you know, you've got to have a reason. And if you're a brand that you've got resellers selling your product and you're also selling online, you know, that's very, very relevant for you. And I know a lot of our people that listen, you know, some of them are in that boat. So you've got to find a reason why people should buy from you. You've got to create that moat around you.
Yeah. And that's it. And I was speaking to the people on, you know, I do my mentoring calls. I do a group call once a week with a group of quite small. I've got one group mentoring group with a very quite small startup kind of size, maybe doing around £100,000 below that kind of level. And they're starting to get it now. They've been with me for about 2-3 months. And I can see they're starting to get it and they're starting to see how they make their value proposition work. And to give you an example, like one company, they're now doing a gift with purchase and they are making sure they've got a good price on the front. They're doing a gift with purchase and they have got a strong reason why you would buy with them now rather than someone else. So they've bundled in a gift with purchase that doesn't cost them that much money, but it has a high perceived value. So people going there and then they're going, well, I'm just going to go with these guys because I'm getting this extra thing. And all they needed was that one offer architecture mechanism to give them a reason for someone to buy from them rather than someone else. And it's like that. I think I'm going to quote Victoria Beckham, but she said something like, there's that, you know, it's like that tiny little edge. You know, you have to be have that tiny little 1-inch edge over everybody else, and you win the world. You know, you get everything. You know, if you are 1 inch shorter and the same as everybody else, you've got nothing because that's where everybody else is. And so in terms of your value proposition, you just have to keep that leading edge just slightly ahead of everybody else. And then the tipping point is it becomes the decision. It's obvious to the person to buy that product. So that's what we're working on with people. We're still working on the value proposition, reducing the friction across that value proposition, putting that in front of people. But also a lot of them, I did an SEO training, which I released last week. So a lot of people are going through that at the moment as well, because SEO is a good time thing to do when you're quiet, because it means, you know, you can actually go into it in a lot more depth, because obviously you're not shipping out products, then you can actually completely overhaul your SEO as well.
So it's about, I think it's about using the time most effectively now that we've got. And I'm really, you know, the stuff that we're doing on the course is absolutely, you know, fundamental. You know, you've got to follow that to the letter, you know, and you've got to use that time and getting it right. Because, and a lot of it doesn't cost anything. You know, a lot of it is about the offer architecture, the value proposition, you know, understanding which products are selling, merchandising them, following the 80-20 rule. You know, focusing on the products to start. You know, it's all free stuff. There's nothing that we talk about that involves masses of complicated, you know, dev. It's all quick. Well, it's all quick wins.
It's all. I mean, it's basically a lot of our stuff, if you think about it, is about doing more with less.
Yeah.
You know, now that's more important than ever. So, you know, some of my clothing clients, one thing that's helping me is I've got the framework in place. I know that they want to get a return on spend, say, of times 5. So all I'm doing is I'm just working within that window. And if I can't get times 5, obviously the budget's reducing. And I've got the mechanisms to understand where we make money, where we don't make money, and what to do, and just work within that framework. And so therefore, decisions become very easy. It's not like, oh my God, how much should we spend in this month? It's like, well, what's the market telling us? Where's the market gone? What am I selling? You know, okay, maybe the 3 out of the 4 categories aren't selling, but I'm still selling this one category because for whatever reason, people are still at home and they want pajamas or they want something. And, you know, so.
With fundamental stuff there, isn't it? You know, so you got to do that. And, you know, just as a practical thing, if you decide to stop fulfilling orders, or if the government comes and says, hey, you now cannot fulfill orders because it's lockdown. If that happens, well, let me say two things. Before that happens now, everyone's anxious about delivery. So if you do have stock and you're still delivering, you need to put a big, massive banner on every single page saying, we still have stock, coronavirus update, we still have stock, and we're still doing next day delivery. So you're giving people reassurances. But when the government comes along and locks down, if we think that's going to happen, if they do, and by when you listen to this, you probably it's already happened, do not take your site down. Do not put a holding page up. Because if you do that, you'll ruin all the SEO. Because Google's going to go, oh, loads of 404s, this site's rubbish. And you'll really reduce your credibility in the eyes of Google. Keep your site up. Just remove the add to basket button. And make it very clear that if they do add to basket, because some of our clients will probably want to let people buy, but do it on a back order.
Yeah.
You know, but that's a decision.
You could say alert and put an email address and alert.
Put a notification. When we're back in stock. But don't take your site down, because you're just going to ruin the SEO architecture of that. So, but if anyone's got any, I've basically been like a triage nurse today, with clients and you know, trying to advise what to do and what we should do, where we should focus, what we need to do now. And, you know, if anyone's got any questions or thought, just let us know. And even if you just want to say, Mark, Ian, can you just ring us for, you know, just give us 2 hours of your time. Just let us know. We'll do it.
Do you want to talk about what we've done about Magento End of Life as well? Because that was kind of a decision.
Yeah, that's something that's came over this weekend. We were saying that if anybody is on Magento 1 and hasn't migrated to Magento 2, to be honest, don't worry. Because we've said that we will support any Magento 1 client past end of life. We'll support them, we'll host them, we'll do any patches that come out, and we'll keep the businesses running on Magento 1 and for as long as we need to. And if we're not saying you should not migrate, but we're saying, look, the pressure is off, we'll look after you, don't necessarily need to. So I think that was the right thing to do. I think people would get really stressed out about it. And it obviously was, you don't want to be spending a load of cash now on Magento 2 or Shopify, whatever platform you're wanting to go to. Just stay where you are. We'll look after you and support it.
Yeah. That sounds good. And I just think there's a ton of things in anyone's business that they never get around to that they know they should. Those things that they procrastinate about. In our business, it's, all the accounting systems I should probably have in place to help reconciliation and all that kind of stuff. And there's loads of stuff that I could be getting up, going with. I mean, just to note that you were saying about the lockdown, that has actually already happened in New Zealand. Literally, all e-commerce stores in New Zealand, as of today, are shut unless they're selling food. So, obviously, I get an email from my client saying, turn off ads because they cannot sell anything. So, that's a knock-on effect to Google, isn't it? And people like Facebook.
It's difficult to think of any businesses not affected by it. I mean, I really can't.
Yeah.
Everyone is affected or indirectly.
Or affected in terms of like, we cannot cope.
Yeah.
They're quiet or they cannot cope. Or there are some people who are halfway between. Some people selling home decor and things like that are still seem to be selling.
Yeah, that's true. Paint. We've got one client selling paint, haven't we? So, and they're doing pretty well.
DIY stuff. People are stuck
at home. Home gym equipment. I mean, look, out of change comes, I don't want to use the word opportunity because honestly, we don't know what's going to happen.
And it's terrible. I mean, people are dying, aren't they? And it's absolutely tragic. I mean, it's a case of taking it day by day and working out what decision you have to make today. Anyway, we'll keep the podcast going and we'll tell you what we're up to and what we're working on and who's doing well and what we're seeing. And you know what? It's changing. Information is changing so quickly. Where we were last week, we wouldn't be thinking to be having this conversation. The week before, we wouldn't even dreamt that anything was going on like this. And then suddenly, in New Zealand went from 8 cases to like 100 cases in a week. And suddenly it's like it's a different world. So, what we're talking about next week will be very interesting, won't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Stay safe, Ian.
Yeah, you too.
And we'll speak to you next week.
Okay.
And everybody stay safe as well. Okay, guys.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.